Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We want you to come to the game with us. Come hang out with us on Wednesday, June 8th. We're going to be sitting in the stands at the K to see the Royals take on the Blue Jays. You can come sit with everyone with 610 Sports Radio, our own section. We'll just be sitting out the game. Okay? All you have to do is head to one of the participating retailers. The locations include Johnny's Tavern, the Brooksider, International Tap House, Rooftop Pub and Patio, and more. Check out the full list at 610sports.com on the front page or in the contest section. And then you go to those places and look for the Boulevard Wheat sign, scan the QR code, and you'll be entered to win a pair of tickets to see the Royals on June 8th, courtesy of Boulevard. Must be 21 to enter between now and May 31st. Head in, look for the Boulevard Wheat sign, scan the QR code, and you're going to get a chance to win a pair of tickets. Let's go have some fun at the yard. Sit together at the game, chat it up, lament the shortcomings of baseball together, whatever.
And I don't care if I ever get back.
It's true. Must be 21 to enter and win. Boulevard, unfiltered wheat, fresh look, same great taste. So scan that QR code for a chance to win. We do have a pair of tickets to give away to that right now.
Oh, you want
to
do that right now?
Caller number.
Let's go caller number 17.
17, 913-576-7610. You're going to get to go and hang out at the game with us.
I always thought 17 was a good quarterback number. Felt like a lot of quarterbacks back in the day wore 17. I feel like Steve DeBerg was a 17.
That's your point of reference?
Yeah, I don't know why I thought 17.
I feel like a lot of them. Yeah. Steve DeBerg.
Steve DeBerg wore 17. Yeah, Dave Brown wore 17 for the Giants. Mm-hmm. Always a pretty good number for
Devontae
the quarterback.
Devontae
Adams wearing 17 as a wide receiver. Yeah, that's a good number as well. Like, I kind of like 17, so okay. Let's go. 17 baby.
913-576-7610. We have pairs to give away throughout the week, as do Cody and Gold, as to the drive.
Pairs? I thought we were giving away
so
tickets.
So be listening for that and all the details on how you can win tickets at 610sports.com. Speaking of unfiltered, see what I did there?
I like the way you did that, yes. Very good. That's why you're the pro. Vice President of Transitions, that's what we're going to call you.
Sure, thanks.
I asked you earlier, what did you want to be the Vice President of? Well, now there we found it. Yeah.
Transitions. Sure. Segways.
Yep. Yes.
That could be misconstrued, though. Could be that thing you ride on. Yeah. That's fine. Either one would be great. Vice President of something would be awesome. Patrick Beverly is, I guess, Mr. Unfiltered. His show on ESPN has been thoroughly entertaining, especially when he's going after Chris Paul. Mm-hmm. Their rivalry dates back to like high school all-star camps. And so he's never afraid to dump on one Chris Paul, but he appeared on ESPN and was spewing facts that the Phoenix Suns getting knocked out shouldn't have been a surprise.
Not to anybody.
Because nobody fears them.
Ain't nobody afraid of anybody over there in Phoenix, man. Everybody in the league knows that, bro. Like, it's just that y'all don't know that because y'all not in the locker room. No one's afraid of Phoenix. We wanted them. No one's afraid of Phoenix. I talked to some teammates. I ain't going to say who because I'm going to say who. Forget it. I talked to Paul George last night, man. Pat, ain't nobody scared of them. But you face Dallas, you ain't scared of Dallas. But, man, you
scared Luka.
Hey, man, you got to get your game right when you play Luka. I'm just being honest.
I know nobody's scared of Phoenix. Everybody knows that. Everybody talks about it. I like this kind of stuff. I think this is what keeps it real. And quite honestly, sports has gotten to the point where there's just too many robots that stand up there and give you a cliche and check out. I like this kind of trash talking. Don't you think this is good for the league when something like this goes on? Because people are now going to want to watch what Patrick Beverley still with the Timberwolves. Is he going to be with them right next year? Don't you think people are going to want to tune in and see what happens in that next game when he takes on the Phoenix Suns or has to face Chris Paul or something like that? Stuff like this adds intrigue, adds a layer of entertainment, and adds something that, you know, just playing the sport can't add, and that is the smack talking that creates an interest. I'm more interested now after hearing Patrick Beverley talk about that than I ever would have been for a game featuring the T-Wolves and Suns. Like, that's not making the radar. But Patrick Beverley now, you know, spewing the truth out there, telling people how he truly feels and how the rest of the league feels, that makes it a very interesting, compelling basketball game to want to watch.
Yeah, and he loves his Chris Paul. So.
First off, I know a lot of them, I'm going to get a lot for this, but, you know, I don't really care. They benched the wrong person. Should have benched Chris. And I'm not saying bench him now. Once you see they starting attacking Chris early, and you know that might become a problem later on, you need to see how my team works without Chris in the game a little bit. I got benched. Sure. We won though.
Right.
So
right.
You don't even remember that.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So as a coach, you have to understand that, man, I have to understand they're attacking my main guy. I can't get buckets from him. I have to make an adjustment, whatever that adjustment is. And that's no fault against Monty. He's a great coach of the year. But T. Lou, if T. Lou's there, he's making that decision. It's a hard decision, but he's making it.
He's benching Chris Paul in game seven.
Not benching him, but spurts here. We got to see something else. I mean, apparently it didn't work.
Barely did work.
Yeah, he went on to call Paul a cone, too. He's like defense, a cone on defense. You just kind of run around him.
He called somebody a cone.
That's the money line right there. He called the man a cone. Mm. That's how he plays defense, like a cone. But I don't understand why teams have a problem with this, why we've allowed athletes to become people that they're not, right? We have created robots for most of our professional athletes. We see it here every day in Kansas City. Why not have more of what Patrick Beverley did there? I think if you do stuff like that, you're creating more and more of an interest for your team. People want to see what's going to happen next. The off-the-field stuff, unpopular opinion right now, Josh, the off-the-field stuff is more entertaining than most of the games.
It's true. No, it's true.
It's more entertaining. But what Patrick Beverley did right there is more entertaining than any NBA game I've ever seen, right? Imagine football players doing that every week. Now, the football games are exciting and fun to watch. And imagine baseball players doing that and talking smack.
But if you got a little trash-talking football, that'd be great.
It'd be fantastic if you had a little trash-talking in football. Imagine Patrick Mahomes getting up there the first time he's available to the media this offseason and goes, I don't know what everybody's saying about Josh Allen.
I'm tired of this guy.
Yeah, I'm tired of hearing about this guy, man. We beat their ass every single time. Why do you guys keep comparing me to Josh Allen? Until he goes out there and does something, he's just another quarterback. Next question. Like, that's real. That's what I want to hear. That makes it compelling. That makes it fun. That makes it interesting. And if you're one of these that are sitting back on, well, it just fuels the fire. If you're a professional athlete and your fire's not fueled already to go out there and play a game, ain't nothing I can do about that. There's no words that are going to fuel somebody's fire and make them want to go out there and play harder or give them bulletin board material. All that, man, that's a lot of hogwash and all that. Just be real. Go out there, tell the truth, and let people know how it really is. I'd love to hear Patrick Mahomes for once go out there and just slay the opponent that they're getting ready to play. Andy says we're looking forward to challenge. These guys aren't that hard to beat, man. We're going to kick their ass.
Everybody,
next question.
Everybody wants a piece of the Texans.
Yes. We were hoping to get them on opening day, but we didn't.
Nobody afraid of the Texans.
Yeah, come on now. We're not afraid of these guys. We're not afraid of this. I mean, you look, all right, we got the Arizona Cardinals as an opener. You guys think Kyler Murray's good? But I talked to his coach. He's no good.
It has to come from somebody who matters, though. It can't be Orlando Scamdrick setting up with Uncle Shay Shay and Drip Bayless, you know, ripping on everybody, and he couldn't play.
Right.
You know, he couldn't cover the checks he was out there trying to cash. Patrick Beverley is almost on that level. He's not, you know, top tier. He's out there trying to get that next gig, that first take money for whenever his career is over.
Good for him.
Yeah, but it has to come from somebody who matters. I don't want to hear it from Orlando Scamdrick.
Yeah, but I mean, Travis Kelce would be good. I'd like to hear it from him as well. Come on, guys. Stop comparing George Kittle to me. Really? Come on, look at the numbers. George Kittle got nothing on me.
No, nothing. Nothing.
Come on
nothing.
Now.
This is also good. Speaking of Petty and having fans fight. This is pretty awesome. This comes from a Rangers fan in the NHL playoffs. trying to buy tickets, apparently, to see the Carolina matchup with the Rangers, okay?
Yes, the playoff series, I think, starts tonight.
He's got a screenshot of this, trying to buy tickets to this game. And there's a very important thing when he's trying to buy the tickets. So it's very important. It's got a little danger sign. PNC Arena is located in Raleigh, North Carolina. Sales to this event will be restricted to residents of North Carolina and South Carolina and Southern Virginia. Residency will be based on credit card billing address. Orders by residents outside North Carolina, South Carolina, and Southern Virginia will be canceled without notice and refunds given. Couldn't buy tickets because he's from New York.
That's right. Not selling tickets to the out-of-market people.
Dang.
That's been going on for years in sports, right? That has been going on for a long, long time. And number one, I don't have a problem with teams doing that in the postseason. They want their fans in the building. But the flip side is, if you have to do that, maybe you shouldn't have a team. Because that means you don't have enough people supporting you. If you can't sell out home playoff games in any sport, and you're having a tough time selling these games out, which are premium games, then maybe your city doesn't deserve that team. And we're talking about the Carolina Hurricanes and Raleigh. They need to move back to Hartford.
You want to give your team the best chance to buy those tickets. I get it. So that's why teams do that,
sure,
right?
Yeah.
It's nothing to stop them from buying on the secondary market.
Well, I heard it may. They still may be looking at some of those secondary market tickets, especially if you buy from, like, you know, say Ticketmaster's a partner with the NHL or whoever it is, and you buy off of there. Yes, it's supposedly going to be flagged by as well. So they don't want any Ranger fans in the building, and I understand that. I do. I get that. North Carolina is a retirement community. A lot of people from the Northeast are down there as well. Maybe they want to go see their team play. They're trying to keep all the Ranger fans out of the building. But that's more of an indictment on your fan base right now in Raleigh, North Carolina, that you can't just confidently know that you're going to sell out the building for the postseason, and maybe that team should probably move to Kansas City or someplace like that that you know. Like, we've never had that issue here in Kansas City. Now, granted, we appreciate our playoff 10 years right now because it was so bleak for 30 years in this town that people are going to be at all of these games, and I don't think we're ever going to get apathetic towards home playoff football games, or when the baseball team hopefully gets back in the postseason, you'll get apathetic to that and not go to those games. I think fans are going to go here in Kansas City, and it's always going to be a tough, tough ticket in town. It's those teams that you look at in these sunbeltish cities that don't have a lot of locals or fairly new themselves, a lot of transient people. They're not selling those things out. Maybe that's not the right place to be as a franchise.
It's pretty great, though. So it comes from an account called Garden Faithful. And he tweeted this. Hey, Canes, you afraid of the Rangers taking over your building? Thought you had the best fan base in the league. What happened? Don't worry, though. New Yorkers find a way. They'll see you on Wednesday.
You're going to have to do it the old-fashioned way, buying outside the building with cash.
Taking it as a personal challenge, apparently, now to get into the building in Carolina. So
but it's going to be more of a challenge now. And now it's going to be even worse, right, for Carolina, because now New Yorkers are going to go, well, screw you. All right, fine. Let's go. And it's going to be like a mission they're going to be on, right? They're going to be on a mission to get inside that building and be Ranger fans in that building, you know, come, what is it, tonight or tomorrow.
Yeah. Today's a very interesting day in television history, and it may be an indicator to baseball. Maybe they were ahead of the curve here.
No, I'm not based on their comments.
This comes from 1939 on today in history. The first baseball game ever televised, Princeton against Columbia at the Baker Bowl.
Why is everything a bowl stadium?
That's awesome. Is watched by a handful of viewers via W2XBS in New York City.
You remember that channel?
I do not.
Who was the weatherman back
then? I don't know. I'm sure he was very...
Willard Scott?
Could have been. Al Roker still doing it back then?
Very suave. So the first baseball game ever televised, Princeton against Columbia.
And it's always Ivy League schools that are like the first football, first baseball. Places that really don't have programs.
Yeah, Rutgers was the first football, I think.
Yeah, Rutgers and Princeton.
Bill Stern announces the 10-inning victory of visiting Princeton 2-1. The New York Times reviewed this the next day. Okay? They reviewed the game the next day. This is 1939, and quote, this was their report. Quote, it is difficult to see how this sort of thing can catch the public fancy, end quote.
Yeah.
Maybe they were onto something.
Like, could have been. How do they pace a play of this thing?
And, you know, I don't know if things going to work. Televising baseball. There's too many of these things. Who wants to watch this?
And you're going to need an app for it in the future.
You might not even be able to get it in the future.
That's right. I mean, enjoy it while you can, 1939.
I'm not even sure who wants to watch this thing. Wow.
It's difficult to see how this sort of thing can catch the public fancy.
Yeah.
They were onto something back then.
Were, they were.
Televised sports. They were
onto this. Like, who?
Swing and a miss by the New York Times. I just don't see this catching on.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't? Okay.
I think they're more pertinent than ever now. I think they were just way ahead of the curve.
They beat
like
the public.
Now
they're
like, I don't see how this sort of thing can catch on. Right. I'm with you. I don't either. I don't either. Speaking of catching on, it's not a magic button, as Vern will tell us. Our Royals insider Josh Vernier dropped by a little bit earlier discussing the hitting and pitching coaches. Next.
The home for Legend Bob.
Legend Bob, he's an expert on rubbing balls.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound. Your home for car audio since 1967 on 610 Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Ladies, kids, the place changed. That's the way it is. Come on. Come on.
That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same.
So more fun stuff happening at the Coliseum. I mean, there's no better venue in sports than... now the Ring Central Coliseum, apparently, in Oakland.
Where is that located?
Oakland.
Oh. Wait, you said something good was going on
A's
there?
A's and Twins playing, and they had to evacuate a portion of the press box, including the Twins radio booth.
Oh, no. What happened?
A possum was coming out of the ceiling.
Excuse me?
Yeah, they had to have the exterminator come in and get the possum out of the ceiling.
Is somebody, like, other than us, just going to legit call them out and say this is Major League being played out in real life? Now they're throwing possum at the reporter so they can move?
Yeah, yeah.
How so does
it's
a
like,
possum...
It's like slithering. There's pictures and video and stuff. Those are. I'd stay away from those. Those scare me.
They're nasty animals. Yeah. Could you imagine the media trying to get out of that?
Oh, jeez.
I mean, that must have been something severe.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody
like
in that crew
crawling
moved
out of the stadium.
Yeah.
Out of the stadium ceiling. Ooh, in their
God.
Offices.
It's going.
I mean, yeah. They're just doing it on purpose.
Right. All right. What can we do now? Let's have a bear come out of the ceiling. Like, right, we can't go with a bear. How about a possum? All right. I got one at home. Let's go get it.
Tomorrow, locusts. I don't know what.
I mean, this really is Major League being played out in real life.
You see how bad this is. See how bad this is? We have possums in the ceiling.
We're gonna dumb the team down. We're not going to try to win. We're going to announce that we're not going to try to win. Then nobody's going to show up, and then we're going to claim nobody's showing up to our games. And so now, instead of building new in Oakland, we're going to go and take the sweetheart deal from Las Vegas.
And
I don't blame them.
And then we have
it near the visiting broadcast booth so that others can tell outsiders about it.
That's a good idea, Josh. You nailed that one.
That's why that's why it affected the Twins.
Does no good in the home booth. They know how bad it is, right?
Yeah.
So we got to go with the visitors. So send the possum into the visitors radio booth. My God, did Dan Gladden get gnawed on by a possum?
Creepy. Josh Vernier, a Royals insider, dropped by a little bit earlier in the show. Of course, the Royals let go hitting coach Terry Bradshaw. Some of you have wanted the pitching coach, Cal Eldred, out as well. I think we spoke to Date Moore a little bit earlier, and that ain't happening. But he does note, these are suggesters. Really, the culpability is the players.
Sure, like, it is.
Play better. You got a coach fired because you weren't playing well enough.
Mm-hmm.
And it does come down to their ownership of the situation.
Pitching coaches, hitting coaches, they're just making suggestions, right? That this isn't Little League or high school where they're telling you what to do and you better go out there and do that. That's not how it works, especially when the guy that you're instructing is making 20 times the amount of money as you are and is much more important to this franchise than you are. Whit Merrifield, by the way, has looked very good over the past week. Looks like classic Whit Merrifield. Last night was very clutch. Salvador Perez, anything but last night with a pair of big double plays. Salvi, to me, we talked about this last week, just looks like a guy that's gripping it way too tight, trying to hit five-run home runs and flip this team's record from seven games below 500 to seven above with one swing of the bat. Carlos Santana, I don't have an answer there. To me, Carlos Santana needs to be a platooned bat, a guy that we only see when a left-hander's on the mound. I brought it up yesterday to Mike Matheny, I was hoping that MJ Melendez would get everyday at bats, or at worst, platoon with Carlos Santana in that DH position. But Mike Matheny did not seem too keen on either one of those changes with this team. In fact, was even pretty resistant to the idea of Hunter Dozier starting at first base over Carlos Santana, saying,
"Why?
We signed Carlos to be our first baseman," was the answer from Mike Miller.
You dropped that out. Why?
Well, I mean, it's what everybody's asking, right? I mean, and I understand people, that you paid the money for the guys, so you want to get something out of them, right?
Yeah, I think people waiting for the next, and you said what's next. I think to satisfy next would be something at first base.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, Vinny Pasquantino coming
would probably up. Be it.
That would be a good
Bring the younger guy up and let's go.
As Dayton told us, he's still not quite ready to go yet. They were down there looking at him last week. He said with one of his advisors, Chino Katahia, who used to be a coach here with Ned back in the day, and they said he's just not quite ready yet to come up to the big league level. So we'll see. Hopefully he gets ready today. comes up to the big league level because
so by game two,
yeah,
would you be ready?
Yeah,
or not?
I would think so. But because when I look at Carlos Santana, I understand you're paying him that money. I get it. But where do you finally get to the point of, I don't care that we're paying him this money if he's not producing, right? Where do you draw that line? Where do you say, all right, enough is enough, and we're going to move on from this guy? Even though we are paying him, we're still going to move on from this gentleman because he's not getting the job done. That's what I don't know. And again, it's not my money, so it's easy to sit here and spew and talk about what we should do. Meanwhile, they've got a budget. They've got things that they need to take care of internally that we're not privy to as well. And maybe, they're saying we got to let them play out this contract because we paid them the money and we just can't afford as an organization to eat it. And that's, again, the big problem with baseball. The Mets were able to eat $40 million of Robinson Cano's salary because they didn't want him around anymore. The Royals are in a similar position with Carlos Santana, but because of the economics of the game and for much, much less, they can't eat that salary. And again, that's why I brought up the economics to Dayton. Like, the teams like the Royals and the Reds and small market teams, small revenue teams, are not even on the same playing field as teams in New York and Los Angeles are.
In terms of next,
not those, in the same sport, really.
Those of you that want the pitching coach to be next, Dayton Moore joined us a little bit earlier in the show. Doesn't sound like that's happening.
Cal Eldred in our pitching processes, we're actually very pleased with the work being done, the commitment being done, the collaboration that is taking place with all of our group, and it's just going to continue to take time. Look, you have to learn to execute pitches on the nights you don't have your best stuff, and most times you don't. And let's face it, the only thing that allows you to be able to do that is experience. And experience, unfortunately, takes a little more time. But I feel good with where we are. As long as our young pitchers stay healthy, they will continue to improve and ultimately be what we desire and expect them to be.
But again, the patience level thin for everybody. I get it.
Yeah, it is.
Because I'm there too.
Because baseball's all about patience, all about relaxing, all about taking your time, all about the journey, not a sprint. And America's done gone into a sprint, man. We're running the 400. We're not running the mile anymore, right? We just don't have the patience. We don't have the time. We have other things to do. We have an attention span the size of a gnat, and it may be even smaller than that. And baseball is legitimately that square peg trying to go into a round hole of what society is today, and the two just don't match up. And you're speaking, I think, for just about everybody, Josh. I don't have the patience for this. The Chiefs go out there and they draft guys, and there's talk today that Sky Moore could have the most receiving yards on the team. The man is yet to play in an NFL game, let alone have a real practice in the National Football League. And we were debating earlier, could he be the leading receiver for the Chiefs? We're like, yeah, I'd love to see the young guy do that. In baseball, you draft a guy, see ya!
Think he can be the leading receiver in 6 years?
Yeah. Wow, maybe in 10 years this guy will, like, that's the problem with baseball. Everything is so slow. Everything takes forever. And our society doesn't have that patience anymore for it. They just don't.
One of the world's most recognizable athletes is coming to America. We'll get to that next.
This is Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, your home for car audio since 1967, on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Here's a little breaking news of interest.
What's that?
Breaking news on 610 Sports Radio, powered by Odyssey Sports and presented by BetQL. Become a better sports bettor. Get smarter. Beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. This is huge news for MLS. According to Alex Kendall, you can say never heard of him. That's
Jason's
fine.
Kid?
No, Kendall.
Oh.
Apparently a correspondent for DirecTV in Europe.
Oh.
Soccer star Lionel Messi is going to acquire 35% of Major League Soccer's Inter Miami.
Well, there's no shock there.
And join the team in the summer of 2023.
Yeah. It's like Tom Brady's going to join Fox in the
He's
summer of 2023.
He's going to buy in and come to America.
Which happens first? Tom Brady buys the Dolphins and plays for them, or Messi buys the Miami team and plays
Miami's
for them?
Miami's been kind of a mess too, so like that's not been a great franchise.
That's too
Beckham
bad.
And
so
company
it's only going to get messier?
It's going to get messier, but they're getting Lionel Messi now to MLS. That's pretty cool. Even when they come and they're old.
I was just going to ask you how
old. When Beckham was here, that was still cool. He was old.
Yeah.
But it was still cool.
Did he bend it?
He did. He bent it a few times. Messi is going to still come here and carve people up. It's going to be fun.
How old will he be at that point in time?
103.
Okay,
he'll be 103 years old.
I'm good with that.
But that's fine. Yeah. He's fine.
You know, there's another long play right there, even though it's next year. And I'm looking at the text line from the 816. I don't have the patience to watch a 15-second ad on YouTube anymore. And I think that's a great text because none of us have that kind of patience.
Next June, he'll be 36.
So he's going to be here in like 14 months. Like that's an eternity right now. There's so much that can still happen and go wrong. So they're celebrating his arrival today. Are we really going to see Messi play in the MLS? Because by the time he gets here, what did you say, 37?
He'll be 36.
36. But even still, do you think he's really going to have it in him to go out there and play at 36 years old?
Sure, he is. Yeah.
I mean, that's like, here's the old guy waving to the crowd type of thing. I mean, the Spaceman Bill Lee, right?
No, I think he'll still be able to play.
You think he will?
How much better from
the rest of the league will he be?
Still good.
It's a messy situation, still good. Man. It really is.
Still good. So he's buying into a team, and then he's going to play.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. So another coming to America story involving one of the top players in the world.
All right, I'm gonna show my ass here for a second. Why can't we get these guys when they're good?
Because
these guys don't even have a prime. This guy here is dead.
Yeah, because MLS is not in that realm.
Do you ever think it will be to that level?
No.
Never. Not in our lifetime.
No.
Ever though. Ever. What will it take? Just cash.
Yeah, probably. Money, interest.
Will Tottenham Hotspur always still be a
I would think.
Good location compared to the MLS?
I would think.
It's a shame. It really is. Yeah.
No, but you take your wins when you can get them. They've had some nice stars come over here.
They have.
So,
who?
Messi the latest.
It's late in his career, yeah.
Well, that's when you're going to get him for the most part.
MLS is retirement for European soccer.
A little bit. It is. It is.
It's the senior tour.
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit.
That's a good analogy. I like that a lot. Yeah.
So maybe, just maybe, the NFL is going to get to the bottom of this Deshaun Watson thing, at least from their perspective this week.
They don't have to have court to determine if they want to suspend the guy or not.
Justina Anderson of CBS Sports had reported that the league's finally going to meet with Deshaun Watson this week.
Oh, good. Interested to hear what comes of that.
Albert Breer follows up. In such investigations, the NFL usually talks to the player last. So this is likely an indication of leagues wrapping things up. Next question would be whether or not they make a ruling before there's resolution on the 22 civil cases.
Mm-hmm.
I know the question's been asked to you, like, what's taking them so long to meet with them? And I can give you the simple answer if you'd like it, which is, well, he finally wants to play.
Yeah.
Like, they need to make a decision based on there's an opportunity to play here soon. Mm-hmm. If he wanted to play in Houston, I think they would have acted already.
I would have.
He'd indicate he didn't want to play in Houston.
Right. So why waste our time at that point in time? Especially a year ago, more information has come out. He's actually spoke about this stuff to the courts.
And then also, why are you going to suspend him? And you're not even punishing. If he's not going to play there anyway,
right?
It's not a punishment suspension. Mm-hmm. So now, the reason they need to act is the clock's probably ticking. He and the Browns are under the impression he's going to start the season as their quarterback. Mm-hmm. Can he do that or not?
Right.
And so that would necessitate the NFL now stepping up and deciding what they're going to do.
And I know there's a lot of folks that are hoping that the NFL allows him to play this year and suspends him next year. So it's more of a financial hit because his agents, and congratulations to them, they figured out a way to do a deal that pays him only $1 million this year to play for the Browns. And so if he misses six games and is fined six game checks, it's only six times whatever, or six divided by $1 million, whatever that is. Next year, I believe his salary escalates like $23 million per year. And so the game checks, the fines will be a lot more next year than they are this year. So Deshaun is probably cooperating bigly with these guys in order to get the opportunity to go and get suspended.
If I'm going to be suspended, suspend me now.
Right. Yeah. Less of a hit to the pocketbook. So if I'm Deshaun Watson, I'm down there going, whatever you want, guys, however you need me to cooperate, let's get this thing over with. You know?
That's not to say, though, that you couldn't do something now and then something at the resolution, right? The NFL could do whatever it wants.
Do whatever it wants. Yeah, it's a
right.
Private
league.
Sure.
They could have a six-game suspension now. You probably, I don't know, whatever, you appeal it down to four or whatever.
Right.
You work out four games or whatever, and then the resolution of this case, you could have another suspension, theoretically, right?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, if ultimately there becomes more and more of this, or, if, you know, God forbid there's jail time involved or something like that, I don't know what could come of this. But, yeah, I would think as we continue to progress and move forward and see exactly what becomes of this, the NFL may look and go, all right, that four games wasn't enough or that six game wasn't enough. We got to add more onto this thing.
And then shame on the Browns because Baker's still a Brown, right?
Yeah, he's still there. But he wasn't invited to this trip to the Bahamas. Did you see this trip to the Bahamas?
Yeah.
Deshaun Watson's putting together a trip, which is a good idea. I don't begrudge him at all for that. I don't know if they're going to have massages or anything on this trip, but Baker was not invited on this trip. So that goes to show you he may be on the outs with Cleveland. I don't know.
You think?
I don't know.
Well, then cut him loose. What are we doing here?
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe. You're going to hold him around to see what the NFL decides on Watson?
Yep.
Again, and then you're going to decide?
Again, ownership, man. This is why teams are colossal losers all the time. It starts at the top.
If there's a resolution with that and they say like six games and they keep Baker to start the year.
Baker should throw interceptions.
I would hold out.
Mm-hmm. Or not show up. Yeah, I wouldn't do it if I'm Baker Mayfield, and it's not fair to him. And again, I'm not a fair guy where you get funnel cakes and whatnot, but the way that they've handled this situation with Baker Mayfield, take the human side of it for a second, too. Would you like to be treated this way at work, knowing that guy is going to take your job, but they won't release you to go find a job somewhere else so you can move on with life? No, it sucks.
I guess this was a rule we didn't know we needed, Bob. This comes from the Washington Nationals, who are advocating a new rule for baseball. It's stupid.
Watch Cesar go to tag him, and he gets the helmet. I'm going to be honest with you, Bob. After watching multiple of our guys having their helmets pop
our
off.
Our guys.
I feel like it should be a part of you. No, and I'm not trying to make a joke of this. Every guy's helmet's flying off. So in this situation right here, he almost uses it as a blocker.
So if the helmet comes off and you tag the helmet, Bob.
That's right.
Advocating that that's an out.
That's an out. That's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard.
The helmet is part of, I don't know, your extension of your head.
No, it doesn't count that way.
And so if you're using your helmet to as a distractor, flinging that helmet off, it's part of your head. So we're going to have instant replays to determine whether or not the head was still attached to the helmet.
Or
much like when, you know, the ball entered the pocket of the glove.
Right.
They want us to do this with helmets now? No, thanks.
Or did his feet reach the base before you tagged the helmet halfway down the baseline, too? Like, what if the helmet goes flying off and you touch it and, you know, his feet are on the base, is he out? I mean, it's ridiculous right now. Like, I know baseball games at times can be long and there's 162 of them, but sometimes you got to censor yourself, right? And sometimes you got to look in the mirror and go, yeah, I'm not going to go with that one today because that one doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Now you're going to have guys out there trying to tag a helmet and miss the runner. And I mean, like, it's just ridiculous. Guys are not throwing, in my opinion, anyway, maybe they are, throwing their helmets off on purpose like that. It's not a distraction. They're going hard. They're sliding. The helmet flies off. It happens at every level of baseball. We've seen this happening. But for this jackass to suggest that tagging the helmet midair and not attached to the body should count as an out is like one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard.
I kind of like it. Or we just put chin straps on them.
Remember the chin strap? Like softball players used to wear the chin straps on them. But this is dumb.
Can we just put the chin strap on and be done with this?
No, we cannot do that. No. I mean, that's a little ridiculous to do something like that. Like, if you're going to create like weird baseball rules, talk to Bob Manfred. He's probably got most of them taken care of already for you.
How do you feel about the helmet dislodged from the head?
Mm-hmm. You know, if a batting glove falls out and it's a good pitch, it's a strike. What? No, come on. Let's stop trying to reinvent things right now. Or if you're going to reinvent things, at least do something that can help the game. Like, I don't know, equal money around for everybody. Salary cap. Salary floor.
Oh, I don't know. I think there's bigger fish to fry, like helmet attached from body.
Yeah, that's what. And bigger bases too. You know what we're going to do? We're going to get bigger bases and tag helmets.
I'm just envisioning a guy like slides into second, okay? Helmet flies off. The guy is on second, but the helmet goes like spinning out of control. And second baseman goes over and tags the helmet. And the umpire goes, you're out.
No. If you're on the base, you're safe.
You know what I mean? No, but you can have anything. Like, his body part's off the bag.
Oh,
he's out.
Oh,
I'm like, come on now.
I didn't read it or hear it that
no,
way.
No, that's not how it was. I was envisioning that way when he was describing it. Like, what do you want?
Yeah. Time. All right, go get your helmet.
Nope.
Yeah,
oh,
helmet's
out.
You can't wear it for the rest of the day.
Helmet's gone.
That's a half an hour.
You lose it. You lose it.
Oh, my goodness.
This comes from Matt Miller, ESPN draft analyst. Little prediction.
Prediction.
Sky Moore will lead the Chiefs in receiving yards during his rookie season.
Good.
Miller writes, tight end Travis Kelce is still the number one threat and will lead the team in catches and touchdowns, but Moore will become a favorite target for quarterback Patrick Mahomes in the underneath passing game. On vertical stretch plays, once coverage breaks down, got a little geeky there at the end.
Mm-hmm.
That from Miller, who has a prediction. What if Sky Moore led the Chiefs in receiving during his rookie season? One, I think it's fantastic.
Number one, it's football, so this could happen.
Yes, unlike baseball,
right?
We have to wait for 6 years for it to happen.
Uh-huh.
Football can happen. We
it
can get immediate.
Can happen.
We can get immediate gratification in football.
You can go right from college to the NFL, but you can't go right from college to Major League Baseball.
Stop.
Think about that for a second.
Stop.
You can go right from the fields of Kansas.
We don't have to go to like the USFL or anything first.
No, you just go right into the NFL. In Major League Baseball, you got to go to Pocatello, Idaho, and eat mushrooms.
What is the gap between college and pro football? The long ways?
Not that far, especially if you're in the SEC, unless you're Texas.
One, I would be absolutely happy if this happened. That'd be great.
Be fantastic.
Two, though, I can't really put the expectations on it. It would come as a surprise, a big surprise to me that Sky Moore would lead this team in receiving. One, I think Travis Kelce is going to be marked early
and
should be. So, you know, you could make the case he might lead the team in catches and touchdowns, but maybe not be the leading yardage guy this year. That could happen. His skills could start to decline as well. That could happen. You've also brought in a bunch of other receivers, though, with Juju and with Scandling, MBS, yeah. And don't, I mean, Mecole Hardman.
Don't
I'm not
still
not, I'm not sleeping on Mecole Hardman. I would be very surprised if Sky Moore is the leading receiver.
You know what?
And I don't want to put the expectations on him to be the leading yardage guy this year.
I don't think we need to put the expectations on him at all. But if he were able to do it, I think it would be fantastic. I want all the young players to just come in and take over every single year, just like we saw last year, right? With Cree Bratton, and we also saw Trey Smith, and then we saw, you know, Michael Bolton come in on the defensive side. Like, those three guys right there became legit, not just starters, but big-time contributors for this football team.
Are you going to let Bob get away with those mispronounced names?
All three of those guys,
the answer's yes,
became big-time starters for this team, right? Mm-hmm. Why can't we see that happen again in this year's draft? And the more I think about it, we were talking after the show yesterday and going through the Super Bowl roster for whatever reason. Like, 10 guys are left on this roster right now that were on the Super Bowl team of just 4 years ago, and yet this team is still in the AFC Championship game, winning the division every year. They've done a really nice job of, you know, replenishing the talent on this roster. And so when you're always replenishing the talent on your roster, you're going to have to count on your young guys to do some stuff. And I'm okay with it. I mean, I think the way that the Chiefs have backfilled has been fantastic. Moore is the young guy that's going to replace, obviously, Tyreek Hill and his work ethic and his workload and all of that kind of stuff. I would love to see Sky Moore lead this team. It's a good sign for Brett Veach as well that, hey, man, my drafts are kicking ass. Let me light up a Virginia Slim, put my feet up, and go to a race in Miami because I can draft.
Well, it would be great for this offense, too.
Yeah, be great for this offense.
It would be great for this offense if that happened, because it would show you, yeah, they can just turn it. The quarterback's here. The offensive structure's here. It's just plug and play.
And
give me guys, get younger, continue to do that. It'd be great news for the offense if that were the case, that you got a guy that hit, boom. You would also then, I guess, put at bay some of the Mecole Hardman detractors and say, oh, look, I expect him to have a good year this year. But
I do too.
You could quell some of that, you know, outcry that nobody grows in this offense and blah, blah, blah. And the two guys that were here, I think it would be very, very helpful for this offense and scary to the rest of the league that, like, oh, you can just add younger pieces and make this thing better. I think it'd be great news for the offense if he were. I'm just not going to put that expectation on him.
I'm not going to put the expectation on him either, but I think at the beginning of the year, Josh, you're probably going to see more one-on-ones with Sky Moore than you are with Mecole Hardman and MVS and Juju Smith-Schuster and surely Travis Kelce, right? If there's one guy, you line up all those guys across the board, who's going to have the one-on-one coverage, right? Who's going to have the best opportunity to get open? It's probably going to be Sky Moore. And so we may see him early on be a big-time player in this offense because defenses, again, they don't know what this offense is going to be about. And so if you roll out Hardman, MVS, Juju, Kelce, and Sky Moore out there, what are you going to do as a defense right about now, right? You're going to look around and go, okay, I guess we're going to have to go one-on-one with Sky Moore because we don't know much about him. And he's going to have the opportunity to be put in those positions to have a lot of yards early on. Once the league starts to kind of figure out what the Chiefs are going to do on offense, it'll be too late because they'll already have won the division. But then maybe that's when Sky Moore's numbers come down and you start to see maybe more one-on-one with Travis Kelce. They start to account for Sky Moore a little bit more, and then that thing kind of changes up. But I think at the beginning of the year, he's going to be in best position to go out there and make some big-time plays because the league isn't going to know what he's all about.
Well, there is that element of surprise, which I do love about this offense a little bit. Where is it going to come from?
Yeah.
Early on, you're going to expect it's going to be a lot of Travis Kelce, right?
Sure.
Well, you're going to try to take away Travis Kelce. What does that open up?
Week four huge, fantasy owners are going to be mad with Travis Kelce.
Huge opportunity for Sky Moore and really anybody else that's in this offense right now to step up and make plays. The opportunity is going to be there. I guess I just also haven't seen enough Sky Moore. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. I don't know what he's going to do. But, I mean, I think the opportunities are going to present itself. Either him or Hardman, the opportunities are going to present themselves for those guys to really shine early on, I think, in this offense. I could be totally misreading the whole thing, but when you look at, you know, what this team has, who the players are, who the names are on this team, the two lesser names, if you will, are Sky Moore and Mecole Hardman. I would imagine most teams are probably going to do more one-on-ones with those guys. I'm not going to let Travis Kelce beat you.
No, I would not. I would every way, shape, or form, I'm – double, triple teaming Travis Kelce.
Yeah. Like,
guess what? He's not doing against me.
He ain't beating me.
Beating me.
Not a chance. Not a chance.
Juju Smith-Schuster has a lot to prove. I'll make him try to beat me.
Right.
MVS is looked at as kind of a secondary piece.
Right.
You know, like a good running mate kind of thing. Well, I'll make him try to be
a
star.
Right. Sky Moore's a rookie. Yeah. Let's see what he can do.
Mecole
right?
Hardman. I've seen it. He does little things. I'll make those guys beat me.
But Travis isn't beating me.
Travis isn't beating me for the first several weeks.
So somebody else has to beat you. And once that guy beats you, then Travis will kick your ass.
Yeah. I'm hoping that's
just kind of the way it goes.
That's how that filter down happens.
Yeah.
That don't lament early Travis Kelce getting bottled up.
Oh, God, no, don't. Just don't. If he's on your fantasy team this year, I don't want to hear about, yeah. Oh, where's Travis Kelce?
Yeah.
Chiefs are winning 37-5, and Travis right. isn't involved as much, right. but they're winning games. That's all that matters.
Yeah, because we'll be playing that game. Why is it Travis Kelce more involved? I don't know, because they know he's the goods.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's definitively the number one now. They don't have to pick between one and two for the moment.
Right.
Until the Chiefs figure out who that other guy is, right? Other years, you had to pick your poison. This year, you don't have to pick your poison. Your poison's Kelce.
Right. And sometimes this poison could be better because there's a lot of ways that they have the opportunity to beat you. And the minute you make a mistake and say you double Kelce and leave Sky Moore on one-on-one coverage and Patrick sees that, boom. He's going with him, right? He's going to take advantage of that. They're going to take advantage of your mistakes this year. 17-0. Let's roll.
There you go. It's been a few days since you've done that.
Well, I get Friday. Excited talking about this offense,
yeah,
man.
It's been since Friday since you said 17-0.
Well, I mean, Monday was a busy day yesterday with the hitting coach and all.
That's true.
He's rejuvenated.
All that stuff. If you missed any of the show today, our chat with Josh Furnier, our Royals insider, our chat with Dayton Moore, you can check it out, 610sports.com. Or the Odyssey app, AUDACY. Download it for free. We'll have another pair of tickets to give away for that Blues-Jays matchup where you can come and sit with us in a section. We're going to all hang out at the K on June the 8th. We'll give a pair of tickets away tomorrow. Also, all the details on how you can win by scanning that QR code from Boulevard Wheat at 610sports.com. Go ahead and check that out as well. Cody and Gold are out today because Carrington Harrison owes him one.
Oh, is today the day where he finally pays his bet?
Today is the day. So C-Dot is in today from 10 to noon.
How many pens will he eat in that two-hour show?
How many pens can
C-Dot eat?
Very, very valid question. So Cody and Gold are out. Carrington Harrison, the drive, is in. He comes your way next here on 610 Sports Radio.
Listening to Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, your home for car audio since 1967.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.